Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for all that you've done for us, for who you are. Yes. We thank you for this day and for your Holy Spirit who is here with us to teach us the truth that you would have for each one of us today. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Another beautiful day we have out there. Like what I've been saying, I remember saying it last week, but it's so true that we don't have our joy based on what it's like outside, but it's kind of nice when it's a nice day. You know, for me, if it's raining and the wind's blowing or snowing, whatever, I can still have joy and have a great day, but I do like it when it's nice. So I will say each of the last 4 weeks that I've been sharing with you, I've picked up and done a brief review, just literally picking up with the last thing that I shared last week. This week, we're going to have a little bit longer review, but the review isn't so much based on what I taught, but what Pastor Bill taught. And so you can be turning to, in your Bibles, if you want to look at this when we get to it, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to look specifically at verses 6, 7, and 12. And a few things, as Pastor Bill shared last week, I was so blessed listening to his teaching, because as he was sharing, it was just linking up with all that God had had me share. And how he was showing us something specifically that I wouldn't have necessarily been talking about, because in the passage that we're looking at in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, as I've said more than once, it's talking about standing. But what he shared last week was that there are a possible of three different options that God will lead us into. And the key is that we're looking for his leading. Hopefully you remember what they are. So test time. See if you can come up with the three of them in your mind. I will say that when God had prompted me to share this way, I thought back to the times that I go to Tanzania. Whenever I teach there, I usually teach for about an hour and a half. And then Donna gets up after me and teaches the same thing for the next 45 minutes. She just teaches it, asking questions to see if they've got what I shared with them, and maybe telling some stories from her own life. But it's done so that it cements it in them, so that they get it. So all I can figure is God has me doing this because there's something he wants to make sure that y'all get. We're going back to what Pastor Bill shared last week. So hopefully you remembered the three options, or the things that got three different ways that God will lead you to act when you're attacked by an enemy. It's flee, fight, or stand. But here in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, he's definitely giving us his instructions as to how we are to stand. You can read it, and it says stand, withstand. So he's making it very clear. This is what we need to do when we're standing. But we do need to know and always go to God and ask him, here's the situation, I'm being attacked. Is it time for me to flee? Is it time for me to attack? Or is it time for me to stand? And then do whatever he says. That's the starting point. Okay? Now, what I'd like to say also, in these instructions, the truth of God's word, giving us something we're to be doing in our life when we are to stand, what I will say is many of the things that Paul tells us here in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 would also apply when you're fleeing or when you're attacking. In fact, most of them will. Okay? And I'll go into a little more detail with that. But the first thing I want you to look at is back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. The first thing that Jehoshaphat does is he looks at the truth of who God is. And the first piece that we take up or put on is we gird our waist with the truth. This should be your starting place every day. What I like is when God was sharing with Moses who he was, back in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, the very first thing, I like asking people, so what's the first thing that God told Moses he was? And people will go through the verse and they will get there and go, oh, merciful, gracious. And I go, oh, but merciful is not the first thing. It actually starts before that. If you remember the verse, it says, and the Lord passed before Moses and declared, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. But in that the Lord God, God is telling Moses, that word God is the Hebrew word El, E-L. And what he's saying there is, I'm the Lord Almighty. That's what El means. So, just like here, Jehoshaphat is recognizing the truth. And the truth he's stating and declaring in his prayer, right from the very beginning, is, I'm coming to, and the Lord God Almighty is with me right now in this attack. And that's something that we need to be doing all the time too, is recognizing this truth as our starting point. The Lord God Almighty is with us. Whether we're fleeing, whether we're fighting, or whether we're standing. So what I'm saying is a lot of these will apply in any of the situations. Then we look down at verse 7. This will also apply in any situation. Okay? Now, verse 7, what Jehoshaphat does is he remembers what God has done for him and for the people. It too is something we need to be doing. If you look at the very next thing we put on in Ephesians, it's the breastplate of righteousness. See, that's really something that he's done for us. It's already done. He saved us from a life of sin and death. He gave us new life, and he makes us righteous through him. In other words, that's done. So be declaring his righteousness, that you are his very righteousness in him. And he's already done it. So once again, this is something that you need to be speaking out. This is putting on your breastplate of righteousness, recognizing what he's already done. Now, what I really like also is what verse 12 says, if you look down to that. And verse 12 is where it says, we don't know what to do. Okay? But what they say, what he says in not knowing what to do is the key. And this is one that we always have to do in any situation too. Any one of the three options that God's leading you to do. You need to keep your eyes on God. Okay? No matter what it is, keep your eyes on God. If you remember back when I first started this series in the teachings, in Ephesians 6:10, and you can be turning back to that passage now as I'm sharing a little bit more so that you're there, because that's where we're going to go back into, Ephesians 6:10 through 18. If you'll remember, I shared what happens, and I've talked to people, and I know this from my own life too. I have, over the years, hopefully I've gotten better at some of these things that I have. God's done some work in me so that I know better not to do what I once did. I think we've all been there, and hopefully we continue to learn all the time. And that is, in verse 10 it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I can tell you that in the past, I have put on all this armor and said, okay, I've got this. I'm ready. That's really not the right way to go about it. Put on the whole armor and then rely on him who is almighty to take care of this. Okay? So that's why our focus needs to remain on him while, not only while we're putting it on, but as we're going through it and it's all walking out. Keep our focus on the one who is almighty. Okay? So that was a little bit of the review. I can tell you, each week as I prepare, God has been giving this to me, and I will say I like it when God has me ready by like Thursday. Okay? It's just kind of nice. But what I can tell you is almost every week he gives me something on Sunday morning. This morning I'm in the bathroom and he's like, oh, you need to share this way today. And it happens almost every week. And I like that. Okay? I often know because I've been sleeping all night, okay? And so I get up and I'm in the bathroom. So it's not like I'm thinking this is what I need to do. It's like, where'd that come from? Well, I know where it came from. But I do like, so that it gives me some time to go back and look at it and go, okay, God, is there anything else? Is there something I'm supposed to leave out? I like functioning when things are fairly ordered. And so far, it's worked out pretty good that way as I've been teaching this series. Now, I can will tell you, be praying for me over the next couple of weeks. I'll be sharing next Saturday. I won't be here Sunday because I'll be in Colorado at CWI in Colorado, and I'll be sharing there. So on Saturday, I'll be sharing during the night. So be praying for me out there. And the next couple of weeks, I don't know, do any of your lives get a little bit more hectic during the holidays? I'll be running around. I'll be going to Ohio to be with my sister and brother-in-law and niece. And then literally the moment Thanksgiving ends, by like 1 or 2 in the morning, I'll be up and heading to the airport to go to Colorado. And I'll be out there and then back to my sister's and coming back here. So between now and the next time you see me, I'll be sharing and preparing for the next teaching here. Only it won't be like I'm sitting at home and saying, okay, God, what do you have for me all week? Now, in the natural, that could put some pressure on me because I don't quite have the same amount of time, but I am relying on God that he'll have all that I need to share in both places when I get here and there. So be praying for me. I like it when I know people are praying for me. Things just tend to go smoother for me. So are you back in Ephesians chapter 6? So far we put on, in going through this, the first three pieces of the armor. And now we're in verse 16 today. And verse 16 says this: above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Okay, now we're going to look at this in some detail. God showed me some things that I hadn't seen before when digging into this. And the very first thing is the very first two words: above all. Now, I can tell you, in my mind, I would look at that and go, there's really no reason to do a study on this because everyone knows what above all means, right? I'm telling you, I didn't. And I'm going to guess most of you don't either, okay? And that's not saying anything against you, but unless you go back into the Greek word used for above here, you're not going to catch this, okay? Above all, you would just think, well, this is the most important thing. And not when you look at it. Okay, here's what it means. If you look at that word, the Greek word used there, it is a Greek word. Once again, I'm not going to give it to you because I'm not teaching you Greek. But here's the definition of the Greek word used there. It means a superimposition of time, place, or order. Now, when I read that, I go, okay. What does superimposition mean? Because if you don't know that, then you don't know what that definition is. So I had to look up. Trust me, I'm telling myself, I didn't know what superimposition meant. Okay? So I looked up what superimposition meant. Now remember, it's a superimposition of time, place, or order. Here is what superimposition means: the action of placing or layering one thing over another. Typically, so that both, or in this case all, because notice the next word is all, above all. So in this case all, typically so that in this case all, are still evident. That's what it means. So when you have your shield of faith, it's out there, but your enemy can still see that you have your breastplate of righteousness on, that your waist is girded with the truth, that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, that shield doesn't hide everything else. It's out in front. You don't want your shield behind you, okay, when you've got all that on. It is out in front, and it's out in front for a reason. But it is the fact that it's superimposed. It's in front of everything else. Doesn't necessarily mean it is above all in importance. Notice it said in time, place, or order. Now, if the order is that of importance, then you could say it's the most important. And I will say, as God showed me this, I started thinking, well, I really think this may be the most important one in this list. Because without it, you really don't have anything else there. Because if you don't have faith, can you believe that you're righteous? If you don't have faith, are you going to believe God's truth? Or that your feet are shod with the So really, it is very important. It just doesn't say that in the definition here. I try to make it a point not to make something say what it doesn't say. okay? Because you can do that pretty easily in your mind. But in going through this and spending time with God, even though it doesn't necessarily say that here, I still look at it as this is really important. In fact, this will link in with the next thing that we're going to talk about, and that is the helmet of salvation. Because the Bible tells us that really we can't be saved without faith. We all know that. So there's a link going right into the next one. But you want your enemy to be able to see that everything that you have is there. That shield of faith is out in front of you. Now I want to talk about that shield a little bit. Now remember here, Paul is using just a natural, something from the natural, to explain spiritual concepts. So what we need to keep in mind here is not so much the armor per se and what it is, but the truths that we can see from the armor that he's using. And when you look at the word here, taking the shield of faith, that shield, the Roman soldiers had different kinds of shields that they would use when they went into battle. Okay? And each one of them had a different word or a name for the shield, which would tell you which shield was being used. Okay? The word used here in the Greek, if you were to look up this shield and know what this shield was, there's something important to see. It's an oblong shield. That's really not that important. Kind of look at it like the shape of more like a surfboard or something like that. Kind of oblong. But what's important is the size of this shield. It's the size of a door. It would literally cover a doorway. That's this shield. It's that big. So in other words, that's what's out in front of you, a shield that's the size of a door, and that's what you're holding in front of you. That's how big your faith is, looks to the enemy when he comes at you, if you really are operating with your shield of faith. That's what's out there, a door. Now, what's really good about this is when the Romans took this into battle, they didn't just take a piece of wood that's that size and put it out there. What they did first was they drenched it in water. They soaked it so it was fully saturated. So that would make this piece of wood really heavy. So these shields were really heavy, but there was a reason why they soaked this and drenched it with water. It's so when the fiery arrows that the enemy would shoot at them would hit that shield that's out in front of them, simply go out. Poof, it would be extinguished. See, now as we read this passage here, now let's go back to the spiritual angle here. It says that the fiery darts of the wicked one will be extinguished. They'll be put out, every fiery dart, okay? And by this analogy, we need to look at, first of all, what those fiery darts are. The fiery darts basically are, and most of you probably already know this, it is the deceptions, the lies, doubt, temptation, all that Satan's going to try to bring into your mind. And he does this to try to get you to not do what you're supposed to do. That's what he's looking to do. Because if you can stay strong in the truth that you know and do what you're supposed to do, then everything's going to turn out all right if you're doing what God says. But see, he's trying to put something in your mind to throw you off through doubts, through temptations, through lies. And here is a key. Notice that the arrows that those who were warring against the Romans did strike their shield of faith. It's just that it went out. Here's the connection in the spiritual realm. Don't think, now, how would I put this? Maybe some of you have progressed past where I am, but I can tell you Satan still tries those fiery darts and arrows on me and on my mind. Maybe he's given up on you, but he hasn't me, is all I will say. So they're still coming at me. I can think of two or three times this week that, yeah, they came at me. Now, the key is they're going to strike. So you're going to recognize them. The key is don't let them flame up, connect, stand there, stay in your mind. And it's only by faith that they will be extinguished. Because what you need to be able to do is when one of those fiery darts come in, is to speak words of faith. If you think back to the passage in the Bible, it's probably one of the most famous ones when it comes to the word of faith. It talks about, it says, and speak to that mountain. Okay? Well, we need to be speaking to those fiery darts. When they come in, just say, nope, I recognize what this is. And here is what God would have me say to whatever fiery dart that Satan has thrown your way. And here, I'd like to just give you a few examples of some things that God's tried on me over the years. And the reason God's having me do this, I'll say in many of the cases, you guys may already have a verse that you know that's in there. The key is you need that truth there. So as Pastor Bob would put it, you can't remember what you didn't remember first. He uses that one at least once a year, at least once every time I'm around, because he knows that that incorrect usage of the word is like, you know, scratching your fingernails on a chalkboard to me. So it sticks, but I love it that it sticks. So my caveat is here, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance the truth that you have put in you. He can't bring back what you didn't put in there in the first place. So I encourage you to take these truths. When I give you some of these examples as to the fiery darts that Satan's going to try, put them in you so that when he does, you go, ah, I've got this one. I'm going to put faith in this one. So I was just thinking through what are some of the things that Satan's tried on me over time? First one is, boy, this is a big situation. This one is tough, and you're not big enough to handle this one. This is what Satan's going to say to you. You can't handle this one. You know what? He's right. That's actually not a bad place to be, but know that God is. Okay? So here, when Satan says that one to me, this is too big. You don't have the strength, the ability, capability to handle this situation. I just think of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's through his strength that I can do this. So you can try to tell me I can't handle this, but I can because I can do it through him. So there's the truth that you need inside of you when he comes at you with that fiery dart. You just say, no, I can because I can do it through God's strength. How about this one? When Satan says, God's not listening to you. What are you going to him for? He's not paying any attention to you. He doesn't care what you have to say. Has he ever tried that one on you? And we have an answer for him. We can find it in God's truth. The answer here would be found in 1 John 5:15. Okay? And it says there, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So that's what you want to be saying back to him. Oh, he's not listening. You go, oh, yes, he is. We know that he hears us, and he's going to give us what we ask of him. So let's do one more right now. I've got a couple more after this one. This is one of the things that just God wanted me to get to you this week. Because one of the things we shared last week or the week before, and we're actually going to talk about it more going forward, is what you can't think is that you're the only one that's being attacked this way. This is really Satan's main mode of attack, is through these fiery darts coming into your mind. And he's doing this for everyone, or to everyone. Now, if in fact you've got this down where you're walking in all this, it's great. I'll tell you what, still do it every day, only do it for those who don't. Because that's part of what this passage is talking about. We're going to get to that some more. Because not everyone has all these truths in them, and they're being attacked the same way. Your brothers and sisters in Christ who are babes in Christ don't have this word in them. They need you praying, you who have this down better than others. Once again, Satan's not going to stop but be praying for them so that when they run into these situations, I do like to say too, for the newborns, for those of you who say, well, I don't have all these words in me, so they're just not right there to bring out. Well, God knows right where you're at. And he will give you grace to, in those situations, be able to get through it if you don't have it right there to pull out at that time. But I like to be praying for other people in that way so that they do have what they need when they need it. But here's another one Satan will try on you. Satan would come to you and say, okay, you who just did what you did, that sin, whatever it was, you're really expecting God to save you in this situation after what you did? Satan never tried that on any of you. Like, you just did that, and now you're going to God and saying, save me? Why would he save you after what you just did? Well, here's a key. Hopefully, after what you just did, you've asked God for forgiveness and you repented. Okay? And then, having done so, you can use this. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So no matter what it is you've done, if you've gone to him and asked for forgiveness, you can know that he's forgiven you, and yes, he will protect you from the evil one, even if you have just done that whatever it is. Okay? He will, because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Okay? And we need to be speaking that out. When Satan tries that question on you, go, nope, I've asked for forgiveness. I've repented. I know God's going to forgive that, and we're going to go through this because he's with me. He's not against me. He's with me, and he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins. So I don't know if any of you, God's ever tried any of those on you, but I will say, from talking to some other people over the years, I know he uses those on everybody. We've got a couple more that we're going to see. We're going to go on to verse 17 now. And there is where we take up the helmet of salvation. And we all know what a helmet is. It doesn't take too much to know what it is. It's that which encircles the head and thus protects the head. But what's most interesting, what I found interesting here is I started looking into the word salvation as it's used there. It's the helmet of salvation. Now, what's interesting is, here I'll even give you the Greek word. It's soteron, teiron. And I looked up that definition for that Greek word. And what it said is, it's the neuter of another word. And neuter meaning neither feminine nor masculine. So in other words, it's just giving you masculine and feminine. But it's the neuter of another word. So to know what this word means here, you need to know what the other word means. And it's really the base word, and it's soteria. So in other words, it's just another form of the same word. So here's what soteria means. This is what I found to be very interesting. What's translated as salvation here, here's the definition of that word soteria. It means rescue or safety, physically or morally, deliverance, health, saving, save, and salvation. So deliverance and health. And then it goes on to say in the definition of soterion, it is a noun, by implication, defender, defense or defender. And who's our defender? The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's our defender. The Bible makes it very clear. So that once again, when you're putting on this helmet of salvation, you're really putting on your Lord and Savior, who provides you with that salvation, and he is your defender in this salvation. Okay? There's a similarity between the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And we all know what Ephesians 2:8 says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So it is faith that is needed to save us. That's why I said faith is really one of the most important things, but so is salvation. Because one of the other things that Satan will try is he'll try to convince you that you're not saved. Satan never tried that on any of you. gone, ah, you're really not saved. I can tell from the laugh and from a groan. It's been tried. He tries it on everybody at a different time and see if this one will work. Well, see, if he can get you to think that you're not saved, then none of this applies to you. You can't do any of this. You can't say, well, I'm righteous, because if you're not saved, you're not. Okay? None of this that we've talked about to this point in time is yours and works for you if, in fact, you don't know that you're saved. So he's going to try this one on everyone. Oh, no, you're really not saved. So here's where we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And once again, the truth in his word, because they'll always go together. Either last week or the week before, we looked at Psalms 121, verse 7. We read the whole passage, and I was relating this back to a situation when sharing about the new tribe that they visited that speaks in cliques, the Wasabi. And there it says in Psalms 121, 7, the Lord shall preserve you and keep you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. So, those who are saved, another verse to consider that you want to have in there is Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says, for the Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that you are children of God. And as such, we can know from Psalms 121, 7 that he will preserve us because it is he who is our defender. What I will say is, I would encourage you, if he's attacking you with this verse, not this verse, although, as we know from his temptation of Jesus, Satan will use scripture verses and twist them around. But if he's coming to you saying, oh, you're really not saved, rely on Romans 8:16 and personalize it. I would say something like this every day. He has saved me. I am a child of God. This is my defense. Okay? This helmet of salvation, I am saved. Therefore, everything that I see here that applies to the children of God, God has given me in our mind, and he is mine. And that's the key. Okay? So say something like that every day. That's your defense. So now we're going to look on to the second half of that verse. And that is, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, here Paul makes it simple for us. He actually tells us what the sword of the Spirit is. In a lot of these other cases we looked up, well, really what's being meant here, he says, well, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So, nice and simple. And that word of God, we know, is the word that God has given us as the very revelation of himself. Throughout God's word, he's revealing who he is, okay? And it is who he is that we need to know because it's really him and all he is and all he's done for us and all he's given to us that we are relying on here and putting on here. It's not ourselves, it's on him. So, this sword of the Spirit, I think most people think, when you think of a sword, they think of it as an offensive weapon. But what are we doing here? Are we attacking or are we standing? Now, once again, not taking this out of context, not saying that you cannot use your sword to attack. And if God tells you attack, you may be using your sword in a different way. Here it's not. But do you know that for every attack that the enemy uses his sword, there's typically a counter move with a sword that's blocking it. It's called parrying, to parry. So in this case, you're using your sword to block everything that the enemy would try to bring at you. Okay? It is a what would be known as a parrying move, to parry. That's your defense. Everything that he tries to strike you with, you go, nope, got this. Okay? My sword's got this. And that's the word of God. So every time he brings something at you, what do you take back at him? The word of God. Do what Jesus did and go, it is written. And then say what it is that's written. In other words, you want to know what's written. because that's your next block. He comes at you with this and you go, up, it is written. Up, it is written. And you're blocking anything that Satan can try to bring against you in the spirit, okay? Because it's what you're using to ward off his attack. So one thing that you want to bring to God is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. And if this is not one that you don't know, I don't have this one memorized, so it's typed out here in front of me so I can read it to you. I love it when God gives to me, go, you need this one. And all I can tell you is when he says, you need this one, that means I need to put it in there so that it's there when I need it. Okay, it's that simple. And he does that for me all the time. And I know God's no respecter of person. What you need to be doing is listening to him. If he says you need this one, you may look at it right now and go, no, I don't seem to need that one right now. You will. If he's telling you you need it, you're going to need it. So put it in there, whatever it is. It's great having that word of God. I can tell you from experience in my life, over and over again, I'll go into a situation and then speak these words of truth that God has put in me, going, boy, am I glad that was there. Because I know that warded off, that stopped that attack of the enemy. I was actually sharing out in the lobby area before we came in here this morning. I was so thankful for all the pastors that I've sat under prior to coming to a specific situation in my life. I, like a few other people that I've heard about here in this church, don't really care for going to doctors. So I really don't go unless I'm about dying. And so I've gone 10 years, 20 years without ever going to a doctor. And I had reached a time where I'd been awake for about 3 days straight without sleep. So I was really run down because I had severe pain in my right shoulder, thinking, oh, I'm not dying from this. But when you don't sleep for 3 days, you're starting to feel pretty bad. And it was all because of pain. So I finally broke down. And I went to the emergency room. I had a really good idea what it was, okay? And what it was bursitis. Just great pain in my shoulder, and it wasn't going away. In fact, the doctor told me, says, it won't go away. Well, he says, it will maybe in about a month, if you can live with it for a month. Well, I'd gone 3 days, and I was about to go insane in 3 days. It was great pain, okay? Now, with that being said, he said, or I can give you a shot. I don't like shots. Let me just tell you, I'm not a big fan. I'm like, no, I don't really want that either. But, you know, I do have something else. My God has healed me. Yeah, that'll work. Let's use that one. Let's not use the maybe it'll go away in a month, which the doctor said, or, oh, we could give you this needle. But then what the doctor did say after his two options was, oh, but it'll come back later and even worse and last longer. I'm going, okay, I don't think I like either of those options. Neither one of them sounds to me good in the present. And the fact that it's going to come back later, that doesn't sound good either. Let's try option C, the one that God went to my mind and go, you're the healed of Jesus Christ. I'll take that one. And literally, that's why I thank God over and over again that I'd heard that enough so that when he presented that to me, I just go, okay, I'll choose that one and put my faith there. And so I believed it. Can I tell you, I have not had a pain in my shoulder since that time, ever once. It never comes back. I don't even really have to think about it unless I recount the story. And so he does what he says he's going to do. He is a faithful God. But see, if I hadn't had that there, I would have reacted differently in the same situation. I was sharing also out there that at this same time, because of the bursitis in my shoulder, they said, you need to go see a doctor. Well, I went in for the bursitis, and of course they do your vitals when you go to the emergency room. And my blood pressure was only 180 over 115, 180 something over like 115. They go, you need to see your doctor. And I go, well, I'm here and you're a doctor, right? They saw no humor in it. I thought it was hilarious. I was in a lot of pain. He didn't see any humor in it. No, your family doctor, he said. I don't have one. Well, you need to get one. So I go to this doctor, and they run all these tests on me, which they will to take you on as their patient. And then I go back thinking I'm going to hear about what needs to be done for the high blood pressure that they say I have. And the doctor walks in the door and he goes, you have cancer. Okay. And I can tell you once again, I mean, literally, these were the first words out of his mouth when he walked in the door. I don't think real good bedside manner, but I would like to say I like things plain and truth, and he was being quite plain. All I can tell you was the first thought, no other thoughts, the first thought went through my mind was, no, I don't. I've been healed. Now, if you don't have that in you, and that sword of the Spirit, and faith in that sword of the Spirit, when you hear words like that, you'll go into a panic. And Satan's got you. Because then you can start spiraling the wrong way. But when you've got that sword of the Spirit and you have that truth in you, you can go, nope, not me. Doesn't apply. He spent the next half hour trying to convince me how he knew I had cancer. Long story short, we took a home test for this cancer, which you could do for this type of cancer. It came back negative. And so I went back to him. I don't have it. He said, nope, these have false negatives. I'm sure you still have cancer. Okay. You need to go have a colonoscopy. Okay, I'll do this. So I went and had that. Different doctor does this when he comes back in and goes, you're perfectly fine. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you want to see the pictures? No. Sorry, no. He did offer me. No, I'd rather not. I'll take your word for it because that's what I've been believing all along anyhow. And he said, come back 10 years later and they can check you again. I haven't been back. Well, it's not quite 10 years yet. Don't know that I will when the 10 years are up either. But this is why it's so important to have these truths in you. So that when these things come up and you're hearing words like that, you got, no, wait a minute. I have God's word on this. And I can use this to stop whatever Satan's going to try to throw in there, whoever he's going to use, whether it's him into my mind, just through my own mind, or whether it's being spoken through someone else to me. I go, nope, it is written. I have this on my side. So did you find 2 Thessalonians 3:3? Because here's something that I don't have in me yet, but I've committed to after finding this and God having me included here. This is one I need to have around in me all the time so that I can say, this is what's written, Satan, right here. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So when he comes at you, attacking you, you can know he's faithful. In other words, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And what's it say he's going to do here? He's going to guard you from the evil one. And so you need to have that one in you so that anytime he comes at you in any of the ways that I've mentioned today, because he tries all of these on everybody. Don't think that when he's doing this to you that, oh, man, this is tough. Everyone else has experienced them too. Doesn't make it necessarily any easier when you do it. Only thing that makes it easier is when you've got that word of God in you. Can you go, nope, not buying that one. So he is faithful and he will guard you from the evil one. So that's where we're going to close today. And just want to close in a word of prayer. We will continue on the week after next, because next Sunday I will not be here. Looking forward to what God has for me to share in Colorado and ongoing here. But let's close with a word of prayer today. Father God, we just thank you for your word, which is truth. That your truth is more real than anything that Satan or this world is going to try to bring to us. We thank you that you will bring to our remembrance all that we need when the evil one tries to throw these fiery darts at us. And that you are faithful and that you will guard us. We thank you for all that you're going to do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.